That is not a ridiculous suggestion,
no,
by the way.
No, you know, it's not. It's not. Although, here's the thing. My home-brewed coffee, I think, is just as strong as the Starbucks coffee, right?
Well, clearly, you're missing some kind of special sauce.
Hey, can we just... is this just pick on me day? I think it's just pick on me day.
Well,
Morales
just,
is just
it's just Morales. He picks on everybody.
Yeah,
by the way, we've got mean tweets that we've collected from the last few weeks coming up at 3:30 today. So I dread that.
Oh, I like it. I think it's funny.
It seems like everybody comes after me. Is that my imagination, or does it seem like everybody comes after me?
They come after you more than me, but I think that's a good thing. If it's like, you know, it's like they always say, if they're not talking about you, they don't care.
That's right. That's right. So they must care a lot. All right. So Kevin Garnett has a new book out, and he did an interview with the New York Times and has some interesting quotes about the game today and the game 20 years ago. He says, I don't think guys from 20 years ago could play in this game. It's creative. It's competitive. It's saucy. They will cross you over and break your ACL. That's what he told the New York Times. I love that he said it's saucy. I think saucy is a very underused word. John, could guys from 20 years ago play in today's league?
Well, isn't this true about any evolution of sports? Like, there are some guys who could. You know, obviously Kobe could.
Yep.
Garnett could.
Sure.
You know, but there are some guys who there's no, like a plodding back to the basket center who doesn't shoot threes and doesn't run the floor. I don't know if that guy has a place in the game anymore, but there are some guys that could play in any era. Don't you think?
Yeah. You know, guys evolve with the game. So I would argue that the athletes, the players from 20 years ago, if they plopped into the league in this era, they would learn to do the things that all these guys are currently doing. The game has changed.
You're right, and the best example of that would be Brook Lopez. For the first 7 years of his career, he attempted 1 3, and now he shoots 7 or 8 threes a game and makes a lot of them. Pau Gasol added the three to his game after
a while. Hey, LeBron is now shooting the deep ball more than he's ever shot. He's already shot 66 threes this year, 69 threes.
And he's making 40% of them.
Yeah. So his game has evolved with time. I mean, a lot of guys, at some point, you know, maybe a decade ago, guys learned, all right, I got to step back and make this a three instead of a long two. And you don't see long twos the way you used to see long twos. There's a mid-range game. By the way, Dennis Schroeder's got a really nice mid-range game, doesn't he? He's got that little jump shot.
Yeah, he hit a big one with the game on the line last night.
Yeah, last night. But guys, no, take a step back and make it a three. But would Garnett have been able to play in the league today?
Yes.
He would have had to adapt his game.
Right, but he was a tremendous athlete. And, you know, he could – I'm trying to think of what would be the comp to Kevin Garnett in like, today's game.
In today.
Like, who would be the closest thing to KG? I think he would turn his game into Giannis.
You think he'd be Giannis? Well, yeah. Giannis has no shot.
Right, but KG did have, like, a 10 to 15-footer that was pretty consistent. Giannis finds ways to score. Which would like Al Horford last night.
I was just going to say Al Horford, the way he played the game last night, and he had a really good shooting night. Maybe he'd be a really, really, really good version of Al Horford.
Or I just thought of another one. There's a really good player in Orlando named Nikola Vucevic.
Oh, he's great.
He's left-handed, but that guy's like a left-handed Garnett. He'd be another guy that Garnett would be like.
Yeah. And you wonder too, would today's players be able to play 20 years ago? Because there was hand-checking. You know, if you think about it now, if there were no hand-checking when Michael Jordan was playing, what would he have done?
Oh, I know.
He would have just destroyed teams.
But he used the hand-check defensively, too.
Yeah,
so,
he did.
I mean, he made it.
But what happens if Steph Curry's playing in a league where, you know, there's still hand-checking, where they haven't cracked down on it?
Yeah, it would make a huge difference. That's true. Yeah, there are some guys, like even Shaq, who was a back-to-the-basket center. I think if Shaq came along today, he'd basically be Joel Embiid. He'd teach himself how to shoot threes and be Embiid.
Yeah.
Or maybe Garnett would be more like Jokic. He'd learn how to go out to the point and pass more. But Garnett could play today for sure.
Right. Oh, there's no question. I mean, I think most of those legendary players could play, and their games would have just translated to the modern game. The modern game, by the way, is way more fun to watch than the game from 20 years ago. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, except there's a couple of things I wish would change. The referees today are too quick to give technical fouls.
Yeah,
like
they
are. You even look at a referee and he tees you up. You know, back when Michael played,
was last night that Schroeder got one or the Saturday game?
I think it was the Saturday game, but
yeah.
I mean, back when Michael played, you could cuss out a referee and the referee would yell back at you, "Shut up, you big baby."
Yeah.
Keep playing. Now, if you cuss at a ref, he just tees you up. I'm against things that, like, I would get rid of the illegal defense. I'm against things that stop the game for no reason.
Right.
And I think a lot of technical fouls do that.
I think the teams go into the bonus too often.
I do, too.
They should increase the number of fouls before you go into the bonus.
Completely agree. Make it 10.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise the game just gets so, it grinds to a halt. I mean, it every time. And I understand the reviews. Lakers won that review last night. Vogel won that review on the Schroeder block. And I think you should be allowed to have reviews, but how many is it right now?
Each team gets one.
And if it's successful, do you get another one, or
nope.
Is it only one?
You get one, and that's it.
Yeah, you save it for a high leverage. I see some of these teams do it in the first quarter or second quarter. I'm like, what are you wasting your time for?
Well, I've
saved that thing for the end of the game.
Mace, I've gone so far. I've come around to your position on this. I don't know if you still feel the same way, but I would get rid of replay until there were 2 minutes ago in a game. I just get
Me
rid
too.
Of it. I don't care if they miss the calls. I want the game to keep moving.
Yeah, yeah. And I know there's that argument. Well, you know, if you've got all this replay, why not get it right? But when I listen to you guys,
they don't always get it right.
When I listen to you guys do the game, or I listen to Stu Lance and Billy Mack do the game, Billy Mack, Stu and Michael already know the call long before the call is actually.
Michael can tell you what the call is going to be in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it takes 3 minutes to play out.
Yeah, it really is.
And by the way, people say, well, what about the times where Michael's not right? So what? So he's not right. It's not the end of the world. Basketball is an entertainment product. Let's keep it entertaining. Keep it moving. You know, that's one thing I think basketball could steal from soccer. Soccer's always moving. When you sit down to watch a half in soccer, you get 45, 50 minutes of action.
Yeah.
Right in a row. In all American sports, NFL, baseball, NBA, it's stop, start, stop, start. Anything that keeps the game moving is good.
Yeah. 877-710-ESPN. The other thing that happened, which is interesting, this is a New York Times piece about I don't subscribe to the New York Times anymore. Do you?
I do.
I don't. I get rid of all my subscriptions except the LA Times.
The only one I got rid of because it was too expensive was the Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
Everything else I subscribe to.
Wall Street Journal is just outrageous, and I hardly ever ended up reading their articles.
Right.
But I guess you have an obligation to. I just went through all my bills at the end of last year and said, how often do I really look at the New York Times or the Washington Post? I don't look at them that often. LA Times, I look at all the time, and I want to support the LA Times because it's our paper.
Right.
Our friends work for the LA Times. I subscribe to The Athletic.
I do too.
But I get really good stuff out of The Athletic. I use that maybe, aside from ESPN, I may use The Athletic more than any other sports site. What's your second go-to after ESPN?
You know, that's a good question. Let me look at my bookmarks. It may be The Athletic. You may be right. Because they do a really good job of covering the Lakers. So I go to SI.com, USA Today, Deadspin. I got probably 50 things in here. The Ringer. I go to The Ringer a lot.
The Ringer's really good, yeah.
Yeah. But there's Yahoo Sports, CBS Sports. There's a lot of options, but yeah, you might be right. The Athletic might be right after ESPN. I probably go to the LA Times website more than The Athletic, but it's close.
Yeah.
It's close.
Hey, Jorge, do you have Kevin Harlan's call of the streaker from yesterday, from Sunday at the Super Bowl? I've got an update on the streaker from the Super Bowl. All right, hit it.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. Lord, now they're cuffing him. But pull up his drawers, whatever you do. 5:03 to go. Timeout on the field. Buccaneers lead it 31-9. Let's step aside. You're listening to Super Bowl 55 on Westwood One.
An excellent call from Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, that was. It was really
so
good.
The maskless Boca Raton resident who interrupted the fourth quarter, and we didn't really get to see him. They cut away from him. And
yeah, they never do. If you know this, if you're going to run on the field or run on the court, TV will not show you.
So this guy apparently was running while wearing a pink leotard and black shorts. His name, Yuri Andrade. He's 31 years old. He was booked into the Hillsborough County Jail around 2 a.m. and released on $500 bond just a few hours later. His pink leotard featured the name of a porn website run by YouTube, and that's why he did it. He was actually paid way more than that $500 for actually doing it. And this kind of goes to the, let's not glamorize this, let's not show it on TV. This guy, Andrade, the guy that ran on the field, afterwards on Instagram, wrote an Instagram post with a picture of himself in the leotard and the black shorts saying, quote, "I am the effing king now." So he felt like this was a great victory. He did get paid for it, too. So I don't know what the downside is if you get paid a bunch for it.
Okay, so I think a lot of these things come out of dares.
Yeah.
I've told this story before in the air, but one time when I was in college at UCLA, a bunch of us went up to San Francisco in the middle of the summer, and okay, we were at Fisherman's Wharf, Pier 39.
Right.
There were probably 15 of us sitting around.
Hey, I don't even remember this story.
Oh, I've told it before. I'm sitting around a table. There's probably 15 of us, all guys in the same fraternity. And somebody takes $100 and throws it on the table and goes, "I got $100. It's packed at Pier 39. There's probably 2,000 people walking around the various restaurants and pier and product. Goes, "I got $100 for anybody who goes down to that dock right there where the blue and gold fleet takes off, drops their pants, jumps naked into the water, swims to the other dock, which was like maybe 50 yards away.
Right.
And then stands up and does a shimmy. And then I'll meet you there with your clothes and you can put them right back on. But you get the money. You get the $100. And somebody else threw $100. It got up to like $500-$600. And one of my friends grabbed the money and goes, "Let's go." He was just drunk enough to do it.
Yeah.
So he ran down there, jumped in the water, naked, swam across, and everybody started pointing, going, look, there's a naked guy in the water. Naked. Got to go up, jumped on the dock, shimmy, and part of the bet was, if and when he gets arrested, we bail him out and pay any costs that are involved with his arrest. And they thought, the cops thought it was so stupid, they just detained him and let him go, like 45, but he got $500 for it.
No.
And I'm guessing that this guy, Yuri, was put up to it by somebody that wanted to do that.
One report said he got paid $20,000. To run on the field, and he paid $500 bond. The guy who paid him paid the $500 bond to get him out of the jail. But I mean, you don't really go to jail for running onto the field at the Super Bowl, do you? He's not going to do hard time.
Maybe the Super Bowl, you might. Maybe they'll like get you. Maybe especially during a pandemic, maybe they'll arrest you for.
He was unmasked.
Endangerment or something, or
yeah,
he got
yeah.
arrested, but he got let go like for. You know,
yeah,
got to
let go
yeah.
for $500 bond. It's obviously not a serious crime.
But did you see the betting thing that was going around today?
No.
So there was something going around earlier. I think I saw it on TMZ where it's a guy posted a picture with the streaker in like a sports bar. And he wrote on the caption that he's like, "Hi, I met the Super Bowl streaker. before the game today. He told me that he was going to go streaking. So right before the game, I bet however much money, I think he said he put, you know, like a couple hundred bucks or something like that on it. And right before the game, and now he's like $35,000 richer or something.
Wait a minute.
Like,
you're telling me I could have bet Mythical money on this?
That's what he claims. I don't know. A lot of people are debunking it.
You know what that is? That's a missed opportunity, Mace. If I would have been told that there was a guy talking about running naked on the field, I totally would have taken those odds.
Yeah, I would have. Well, I mean, think about that. When was the last time we saw a streaker? It's been years.
1976.
Yeah, I mean, streaking has not really been in fashion for a while. I'd love to see it come back.
As the Fez would say, that's the kind of needle in the haystack bet that I would make.
Exactly.
A dumb bet that you have zero chance of winning.
I'll circle back to that. I lost yet one other bet on the Super Bowl. I'll get to that at the bottom of the hour.
Is there a limit on how much one person can lose? This is
no, there's
ridiculous.
No limit. None. I'm exploring the depths of wagering right now. Coming up next for you is The Scoop, all the stuff in sports that we haven't gotten to yet. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. John, legendary NFL coach Marty Schottenheimer passed away overnight. We worked with him when he was the head coach of the Chargers. He was 77, died of Alzheimer's. He had coached the Washington football team, the Chargers, the Browns, and Kansas City. He is eighth in all-time winningest coach in NFL history. He won 200 regular season games. The Washington Post wrote this: Marty Schottenheimer, who won 200 regular season football games with four NFL teams thanks to his Marty Ball brand of smash mouth football, but regularly fell short in the playoffs, has died. He was 77. The headline in the Washington Post became this: Marty Schottenheimer, NFL coach whose teams wilted in the postseason, dies at 77. Is that not the most disrespectful headline you can dream up?
Well, it is, but what is the Washington Post competing for these days like everybody else?
Yeah, clicks. But that is terrible.
But wait a minute. Wouldn't the New York Post do that pretty much on a daily basis? You lived in New York. You know what they like. Isn't that basically the whole thing behind Page Six? I don't disagree with you that it's terrible and it's disrespectful. What I'm arguing is I think it was intentional. Don't you?
They're getting criticized heavily. I mean, my headline would have been Marty Schottenheimer, eighth winningest coach in NFL history, dies at 77. I wouldn't lead with whose teams wilted in the postseason. I just think that's a really rough headline.
It is. But if you worked for the New York Post, what would your headline be?
It would have been something like that. But this is the Washington Post sports page.
Right. So what I'm saying is,
you say they're looking for clicks.
I think everything's moving that way. And look, like three people have texted me that picture of that headline today. Like it has gone full viral. I think the Washington Post knew exactly what they were doing. Now, what surprises me, and you just hit on it, is that this is the Washington Post, one of two or three papers of record in America. I think it would be the New York Times, the LA Times, and the Washington Post. So they're better than this. They shouldn't have done it. But I think that's the way everything is moving. People want clicks, and this is going to get, don't you think this is going to go viral?
Well, it's being discussed a lot. We're mentioning the Washington Post a lot. We're mentioning the story a lot. We're mentioning the headline a lot. I think it's shameful. If that's the way things are going, I don't want to go.
Well, you already said you're not subscribing to the Washington Post anymore.
That's true.
Right? There you
that's
go.
True.
So
I canceled them.
Yeah, they lost you already.
Yep. All right, it's to you.
All right, Mace. Tampa Mayor.
By the way, hail fellow well met, Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah. Tampa Mayor Jane Castor expressed frustration on Monday over individuals not following her executive order for masks to be worn in outdoor areas of the city. The city even handed out more than 200,000 masks, but all the places she was worried about were packed with maskless crowds of partiers and concert goers after Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. Here's what she said. Quote, "It's a little frustrating because we've worked so hard in cooperation with the NFL and the county and just a number of different entities putting the order in place that masks had to be worn in specific areas that we knew groups would be congregating." Castor used to be Tampa's former chief of police. Now, Mace, should the mayor have known better and just shut these parts of the city down? Or did she play this right? Hand out masks, warn people of the danger, and if they don't listen, they don't listen.
Well, I mean, there's an issue of personal responsibility here.
Correct.
And the truth is, okay, so I'm in my house most of the time. I make a trip to Starbucks occasionally, but for the most part, I'm going friggin' nuts looking at the same four walls. So I understand the frustration. I understand the fact that everybody's stir crazy, all that stuff. I still won't go anywhere without a mask. Can you close down all the public areas? I guess you could.
I guess you could close them down. LA's done it.
Yeah.
Think about LA Live. You can't congregate at LA Live during Laker games or Kings games, or, you know, if you do, they run you out of there.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely predictable that people were going to party. I mean, it was the home team winning, and it was completely predictable, particularly in Florida, where I guess they've got the third highest death rate, but they're not doing anything about it. They're not really that serious about it down there.
Right.
So it's completely predictable that they would not wear masks. The one way to do it would be to shut down those public areas. I guess she made that mistake.
And I think she tried to trust the people because it's a big hot button issue down there because it's Republican controlled. People want to gather and use it. Some people don't want to wear masks at all.
Right.
And so for her to shut down the cities would have been a political issue, and she would have been criticized heavily for that. Now she's being criticized for mishandling it. She was kind of in a lose-lose, but I think at the end of the day, it's your job to keep the city safe. She should have known better that Bucks winning the Super Bowl equals a bunch of people partying in the street. Yeah. I think she should have shut it down.
Yeah, the problem is all these politicians, and I followed this stuff tangentially and all that stuff, they're all in a lose-lose.
Right.
Do you shut down? Do you open up? Do you do, like, New York's going to do indoor dining now?
Right. And then nobody is, pick a state. Any state, nobody's happy with their governor.
No.
Everybody's blaming the governor of whatever state that is for the problems of this virus. You can't win if you're a governor.
Yeah. All right. We all know that Tom Brady has now gone to 10 Super Bowls and won 7 times. But there's an argument on social media about who is really the goat of all goats. So there's a popular argument right now that Serena Williams is officially the goat of all goats. She's won 23 Grand Slams, 4 Olympic gold medals. She won one of her majors while she was pregnant at the Australian Open. Do you agree with all these people on social media that Serena Williams is really the goat of all goats?
I think Serena's a spectacular tennis player. I think she's the best women's player of all time. But you know that she hasn't even, it's kind of like, you know how Tiger Woods hasn't quite caught Jack Nicklaus?
Right.
I don't think Serena's caught Margaret Court. I think Margaret Court actually has more majors than Serena does. So it's hard to make the argument that she's the greatest of all time when you could, at least statistically, make the argument that she's second in her own sport, much like Tiger. I think Tiger's the best golfer ever, but he's second to Jack Nicklaus. And if my dad were alive, he would sit here and say, Jack Nicklaus won more majors and Jack Nicklaus is better. In the case of, you know, this is the argument you get with Jordan and Bill Russell.
Right.
Bill Russell won 11 titles, although most people think Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time. I guess it's a matter of taste. To me, Serena's the greatest tennis player of all time. I have no problem if somebody says she's the greatest, like she's the true GOAT. But tennis, like aficionados would come back at you with, she hasn't even won the most majors in her own sport.
Go ahead, Lynch.
So if you think personally that she's the greatest tennis player of all time, how is she, if she hasn't gotten that record yet.
Because
out of curiosity.
She changed the game forever, Lindsay. She was so athletic and so much of a better, I can't think of another word to use other than athlete. If Margaret Court at her peak played Serena Williams at her peak, it would be 6-0, 6-0 Serena. She changed the game forever. Serena, pick any player, Martina, Chris Everett, anybody. Those guys were all great players. Serena is just freakishly good. She's LeBron on a tennis court. So for that reason, I think she's the greatest player of all time. I think she changed the way her and her sister both changed the way the game is played. Venus came first, and she was great. Serena was like Venus on steroids.
Serena is the greatest female athlete of all time for me. And I know Margaret Court, whoever she is, whenever she played, the game wasn't as competitive. Like Bill Russell.
All right, what about,
how many teams were in the league when Bill Russell was winning championships?
Probably when he started, probably 8 to 10. And when he finished, probably 14, 16. Maybe?
And the game wasn't really developed. Athletes were not as finely tuned. It's hard to compare eras. You say Serena Williams is not the greatest female athlete of all time?
Greatest female athlete of all time. I'm trying to think of, like, Florence Griffith Joyner was, like, a tremendous athlete. Jackie Joyner Kersee did multiple sports. It'd be hard. I think Serena probably is. And for my money, even though those other players may have more titles, she's the greatest tennis player ever. Ever.
Yeah, no question.
Male or female. Ever.
By the way, and a trailblazer.
Yeah.
A trailblazer, too. All right. Coming up next for you, John. I put out a question yesterday. Who should be the halftime performer at the LA Super Bowl next year? Okay. And there is one name that came up more than any other. I will tell you who that is coming up next for you, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thank you very much, Jay Will, from the Keyshawn Morning Show. By the way, did you hear any of the afternoon show yesterday, the brand new afternoon show?
I did not. I left here and went straight to the game.
And you didn't listen on your way?
I did not. Well, I listened to a podcast.
What kind of role model are you?
I listened to a podcast.
Oh, damn.
But it was your podcast. Does that make any difference?
Oh, no. I would absolutely listen to my podcast.
So there you go.
Strongly recommend it. All right. So the show sounded great, by the way. I already knew my podcast, so I didn't have to listen to it. But no, I thought the show sounded great. I think Cap brings a new energy to it. It's cool. It sounds good. So don't forget, they're at 3:55 today. Sedano, LZ, and Cap. All right, so yesterday I put out this question. The Super Bowl is in L.A., and by the way, at 3 o'clock we're going to talk to Kevin Demoff. They made all kinds of big announcements, logo and all the stuff that goes into the Super Bowl. We're not going to be able to talk to him about Stafford, even though we know it's going on and he knows it's going on. It's a stupid rule, but we can't talk about Stafford. But we're going to talk about the Super Bowl in general and this season, the way it went in general. So yesterday, given that it's in L.A., I pointed this out, I said, who should be the halftime performer? Who is the most L.A. performer there is? And one came up more than any other. Do you have any idea who it is?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
It wasn't, actually. There was some Red Hot Chili Pepper love, but it was actually, take another shot.
So somebody from L.A.
Quintessentially L.A.
And it's not the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So it wouldn't be Randy Newman's too old.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, no. You know who it is?
Who?
A lot of came up for Kendrick Lamar. That's a really good guess. But the one that came up more than any other was Snoop. Snoop and Friends.
He'd be great.
But here's the question. Is he too associated with Herb for the NFL to say, yep, Snoop, And your friends, we're doing a halftime.
Pura Yeska!
Pura Yeska!
Not for me.
Yeah, not for me either.
Imagine
the talent Snoop would bring with him. He's worked with everybody.
Right, yeah. It's about the music. I'd be okay with it. You know, it's about the music, and Snoop would be great. And think about all the interviews he could do beforehand to pump it up.
Oh, man. I just wonder if he's too... I mean, I would be completely for it. And by the way, it's legal, and, you know, my granddaddy, Purple OG, visits me most nights. So Snoop is of kindred spirit. I would totally support Snoop as the halftime show. But, Jorge, you're right. Kendrick Lamar would actually be a really good choice, too.
Yeah.
He'd be really good. He'd be really good. But, yeah, I wonder if the NFL would say, yep, we're going with Snoop, given that his Instagram page, basically all of his pictures, there's a cloud of smoke. Virtually everyone, there's a cloud of smoke.
I'd be okay with it.
Me too.
Plus, he's in all these other commercials that air during
the game. He's a spokesman for Corona.
Yeah. He'll be great.
Yeah, he'd be great and brings all of L.A. with him. I think it would be perfect. We'll see. I think it's Jay-Z's decision, isn't it?
Well, that should help.
You're right. That should help. He's worked with Jay-Z. Yeah, that's I think it's the best idea out there.
And what about, wait a minute. What about Kanye? Too weird?
Yeah, too weird. Too weird. You know, he's doing stuff with choirs, and he's doing religious music, and what's that, Jorge?
It'll be all gospel and stuff.
It'll be all gospel. Yeah, he's doing all Christian music now. Throwing church services everywhere. Is it true that him and Kim are broken up?
That's what's being reported. I'll believe it when I see it.
I always come to you when it comes to celebrity relationships.
Well,
and
especially
they're still on or broken up.
Kardashians. You know, I'm a big Kardashian fan.
You know, and your Kardashians.
Yes, I will believe it when Kim announces it personally.
So guess what we've got, John? This is really exciting. We haven't had one in a while. We've got a Karen.
Okay. And it's not Mahomes' mom?
No, Mahomes' mom is definitely a Karen. In fact, what did it say on her back at the Super Bowl? Didn't it say
QB producer?
QB producer.
QB producer. Oh.
That's just weird.
I want to say, Mace, that no matter how hard we try to avoid the Karens, they just pop up in everyday life because, like you just mentioned, Mahomes' mom. Remember last week we had the courtside Karen with LeBron?
Courtside Karen, that's right.
Yeah, even though we're not making a conscious effort to do like a Karen of the week, they still pop up pretty much every week.
So this is a Karen that I found today online. I was just curious, who's the latest Karen? You're right, Lindsay. There are always Karens. Who's the latest one? So Patrick Mahomes' mom, I think her name is Brady or Cindy or something like that. Randy. Cindy, or Randy. I'm not sure which. She was one, courtside Karen. This is, and that a lot of them start with women refusing to wear masks. So this one happens, and I want you to think about this. Picture this. It is a woman in a total body leopard print, not a onesie, what would they call that? A pantsuit or something like that.
A jumpsuit.
Totally leopard print. And she goes into the Starbucks and she refuses to put on a mask. And here is the confrontation she has with police.
Get your hands off of me. You are kidnapping me. I will personally. What is your name?
I'll give you my name.
Take your hands off of me. You don't have the right, sir. Get your hands off me. I've done nothing wrong. I am not a criminal. Get your hands off of me. Get your hands off of me.
Ma'am.
No.
Sir, it's your drug ID.
Ma'am.
That's a violation.
Ma'am.
Take your hand off of me. Sir.
Don't come behind me.
You need to read the Constitution. You need to read the Constitution. Get your hands off of me. You don't have the right to do this.
Kidnapping.
Taking a picture of this is so illegal. Take your hands off of me, sir.
Outside,
I am not a criminal. I've done nothing wrong.
I'm asking you to
leave. And I'm asking you to get your hand off of me.
I'm
asking you to take your hand off of me. I'm asking you to take your hand off of me.
Ma'am?
Take your hand off of me.
There she is. Take your hand off of me. He was trying to ease her out of the start. He was trying to, you know, de-escalate the whole thing because the lady's lost her mind. And the you are kidnapping me is my favorite line. You are kidnapping me.
I have so much respect for the cop in this story.
Yeah.
I just would have lost it with her. I would have said, yes, I am. Put your hands behind your back.
Jorge's got it towards the end. Go ahead, Jorge.
Filming this, sweetheart.
Yes, I am.
Are you filming this, sweetheart? Stop it! Ma'am, you cannot arrest me. I've done nothing illegal. I have done nothing illegal.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Oh, my God.
Put your arms back. Stop resisting.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's a handful. She is a handful.
Mace, I have an update about Snoop. Kind of an update.
Okay.
So I texted my good friend, Anthony Smith, who is like the executive producer of features at NFL Network.
Okay.
He's worked a lot. He was on our show.
Yeah, I remember. He was good.
Oh, yeah. He was excellent.
He's with Nipsey Hussle. He works a lot with the athletes. Like, you know, when you see those vignettes before the games with like the artists of the area and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He works a lot on those. So I specifically asked him about Snoop, and he said, funny you should ask. I was just having this conversation with some friends on Sunday, and we all think that Snoop would be great. He's like, I'm taking your suggestion to the league. Too many people like this idea.
Yeah, it was so one-sided. Everybody was on Snoop on this thing. Because when you think sports in Los Angeles, Snoop is he's kind of the guy.
Right.
And he brings that flavor, if you know what I mean. He brings that very contemporary, like I enjoy most nights. He brings that with him.
And you know what? He could, to pacify all the older people that they're worried about ticking off, he could bring his friend Martha Stewart on stage with him.
Oh, man.
Here's Martha Stewart. Halftime at the Super Bowl. All right, there you have that. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. And don't forget, 3 o'clock, Kevin Demoff is going to join us. We will talk about them getting ready at SoFi Stadium and the Rams getting ready to host the 2022 Super Bowl. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here we go. It is Radio Tinder time. Linz, what do you got for us?
All right, guys. The Washington football cheerleading program has been put on pause, effective immediately, and apparently they're going to be rebranded. The news comes 4 days after Roger Goodell said that the league is nearing the completion of the investigation over allegations of sexual harassment and mistreatment of female employees. Officials with the team say that they're re-envisioning the program, and they're going to take... they're going to have the cheerleading team take another form. So given the allegations, should the Washington football team just end the cheerleading / dance team program for good? Swipe left or swipe right.
This was predictable, Lindsay, and we talked about it when this story first came out. Because these lawsuits all are probably going to either be settled or decided in favor of the women, lawyers, Mace, you know this, CEOs, lawyers, anybody who runs a company, their job is minimize risk.
Yeah.
And I think that we are going to see, and Washington is probably going to be the start of it, we are going to see the end of cheerleaders on the sidelines at NFL games, and maybe that's how it should be.
At all game, all teams, all
yep.
games?
Yep.
No Jills in Buffalo?
I think the Cowboy cheerleaders may survive it because they're iconic, but and maybe the Raiderettes just because they're in Vegas. But what, Mace, think about it. This is what happened with interns in the movie business when that Black Swan case came out, that they were asking the interns to do actual work. Now none of the major
but
studios have internships.
I refuse to believe that
programs.
Every cheerleading program or every dance team program is will run the way the Washington football team did theirs. Are you going to get rid of the Laker girls?
In that lawsuit, I don't know. But in that lawsuit... as far as I know, this is an NFL issue. I don't know. I haven't heard of any NBA dance team suing the team. But in that lawsuit, I just watched a documentary on this. They have plaintiffs in the Raiderettes, the Jills in Buffalo, the Bengals in Cincinnati.
Best name.
Yeah, there were the people in Washington, and I think they also had people in Baltimore. Like, the dance teams got together, and this was league-wide. It was geographically league-wide. Now, I'm not saying every team, but a lot.
That was they were trying to unionize, right?
No, these girls all said that
all
they were.
All claim there's harassment?
The harassment, they were not paid. They were asked to basically.
Well, the not paid thing, I completely agree with. We did a story a couple of weeks ago. They are dramatically undercompensated and should be at least paid minimum wage for each hour that they work. Right now, they're not being fairly compensated. But if there are allegations of harassment in all those programs, then they should absolutely go away.
Right, and I think
I mean,
a lot of
what are you
going
to do with the Laker girls? Laker girls are a tradition.
Yeah, but the NBA doesn't have this issue. The NBA, are you aware of any lawsuits with the NBA girls suing?
No.
Yeah, I think the NBA is a completely different program and model.
Yeah, I mean, if there is rampant sexual harassment in these cheerleading dance team programs, then they should absolutely go away.
But, I mean, I think it's too bad because I think a lot of girls would like to do it, and a lot of fans would like to have them. But, you know, what happens is, Lindsay, I've read that whole lawsuit about what the Washington football team asked the cheerleaders to do, and it's brutal.
Oh, it's disgusting.
It is brutal. How Daniel Snyder keeps surviving this stuff blows my mind.
And it rises to the level of Daniel Snyder.
Yeah.
He's part of the situation there, the awful situation. All right, Lindsay, what do you got?
Well, I was going to say the biggest thing that I heard was that they're basically asking them or forcing them to go on these like calendar shoots and stuff like that with season ticket holders or sponsors of the team that pay a lot of money for, you know, advertising, whatever. And they're expected to go on these trips, not get paid, and flirt with these human beings that spend a lot of money with the teams. And that's it's just like supposed to be part of the job. So I think that's like the...
That's disgusting, outdated, and completely wrong. So if that's really what's going on in these dance team cheerleader programs, then they should go away.
Well, on a lighter NFL note.
Yeah, I hope so.
With Matthew Stafford heading to L.A. to join the Rams, apparently there are some players who've been texting the new Rams quarterback about following him there, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. And one of those players is likely to be Marvin Jones Jr., who played the last 5 years of his career in Detroit with Stafford and is set to be a free agent in March. Do you want the Rams to sign Marvin Jones Jr.?
That guy's a baller.
Yeah, he's great.
And, you know, the question is, can the Rams afford him? You know, if he's going to be a free agent, if he wants to come here, maybe he's willing to take less money. But, Mace, especially if he has a rapport with Matthew Stafford, the more the merrier, man.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his numbers this year.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, 1,000 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns.
And 76 receptions.
Yeah, that totally plays.
And he's 30, and he's from L.A., and he played at Cal.
There are some interesting wide receivers. He's a great idea. There are some interesting wide receivers like T.Y. Hilton and Allen Robinson. They're really good wide receivers on the free agent market this year. And the Rams, Josh Reynolds is probably going to leave as a free agent. And they're developing Van Jefferson. But they could use somebody to take the top off of defenses. And Marvin Jones Jr. may be one of those guys that they look at. They've really got to – I think the most important signing they've got to do is John Johnson from that secondary on defense. They've got to hold that defense together because the idea is can they make this upgraded quarterback and then hold the defense together, championship defense plus a competent quarterback who likes to sling the football and fits the Sean McVay mold, does that get you to the Super Bowl? Yeah, if you can add a receiver the caliber of Marvin Jones Jr., you absolutely do it.
Straight to the Super Bowl.
To the Super Bowl, right here in L.A.
All right, last one here. Many people are still remote working or learning due to the pandemic. And a Texas attorney had a huge technical blunder on Thursday when a pesky Zoom filter during a virtual court hearing temporarily turned him into a cat.
Oops.
Arville Rod Ponton, one of the attorneys working a case and definitely not a cat, had a cat filter on his Zoom profile before joining the meeting. That filter remained on as he addressed a judge in court. The judge later released video of the proceedings on social media with a warning that said, "Important Zoom tip. If a child used your computer before you join a virtual hearing, check the Zoom video options and make sure the filters are off." Here is what it sounded like.
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings. You might want to.
Can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
I can see that.
I'm not a cat.
I'm not a cat. Oh, that's great.
Oh, man, that's my favorite thing I've seen in a while on the internet. Have you guys had any serious technical blunders since working remotely? Are you kidding me?
How many technical blunders have I had? My Comrex has been unplugged at least 6 times, and I get that high squealing sound.
I'm on the bad. Explain the unplugging thing where you're just convinced
Comrex has been unplugged. That means you've stumbled into it and unplugged it.
So we've got a machine called... Just to loop people in, we've got a machine called the Comrex, and this is what allows us to go on the air. So it plugs into the wall, and at least 6 or 7 times I've just tripped over it and knocked it out of the wall and gone completely off the air. So, right. Yeah, I've had terrible moments,
Mace,
technically.
You could go buy a roll of tape and tape the cord to the ground, and you would never kick it over. Have you thought about that?
It's like Mason unplugged himself again.
Yeah. By the way, it could happen today. We still got 1 hour and 8 minutes left.
We still do. I'm careful now, but it still can happen. Ireland, what about you? Technical snafus.
I'm trying to think if I've had anything like super embarrassing happen.
I remember when we had that first meeting with Boss Amanda.
Yeah.
And she was letting us have it for something or other.
Yeah.
I just stormed out of the meeting and closed my laptop.
Right.
Were you on that call, Jorge?
I wasn't, no.
I was hoping you would do that again for the last one we had, because we had it right before the College Football National Championship, and I sent you a note saying, hey, Mace, get mad and hang up before 5 o'clock so we can watch Ohio State and Clemson.
Boy, I was pissed off that day, wasn't I?
And then Amanda was nicer this time, so you didn't have to hang up.
Yeah, I didn't have to storm out of the meeting.
All right, so we got Kevin Demoff coming up next, right?
Yeah, Kevin Demoff, COO of the Rams. Now, I'm telling you up front, we're not going to be able to talk about Matthew Stafford because that deal is not final until whatever the year calendar starts or whatever BS rule they made. But they made all kinds of big announcements about the Super Bowl today, and we'll get to Kevin about that. We can also talk overview of the season that we have just finished, went all the way to the divisional round of the playoffs, which you would have to consider is a successful season. So Kevin Demoff, COO of the Rams, will join us next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.